Is Philemon, verses 17 to 21. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. It's God's word.
Father, today we want to thank you for doing all you could to rescue us and to save us from a slavery that was ours. And it wasn't just fear that we faced. There were so many things of this world that would pull us down. And yet through your amazing love, incredible grace, you have chosen to rescue us. And Father, today we want to acknowledge that today. We realize that as much as that was a gift that Jesus has given to the world, there's still a responsibility on us to be willing to receive that gift. For us to acknowledge that we're sinners, that we've fallen short of your mark. And the Father, simply by coming, confessing our sins and choosing to allow Jesus to be Lord of our life, then we can have this privilege of being rescued. Not just rescued, but to become your children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Father, today we want to acknowledge that amazing gift, that incredible privilege that is ours. And Father, we thank you that we can walk in the fullness of us. And I pray, Father, that we will not be shy in sharing that message with others. Because we don't want anyone else to be slaves of the things of this world. We want them to be free as well. So help us to be free and bold in proclaiming that gospel message. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Reference to me being that big and couldn't see me. What I'm really concerned about is obviously that glow has disappeared a little. Must be getting towards the end of the year, and I'll have to work on rebuilding that. There's many things that we want to acknowledge today, and I was really pleased to see that the video clip on Baptist World Aid's work. I hope that tugged at your heartstrings as well. You know, there are people in the world that desperately need our support. And it's a privilege as a church to be able to give of our Christmas Day offering to that work. And it's also a privilege to be able to support the work of Baptist World Aid by the buying of the cards as well, which have been mentioned a couple of times today. It's amazing the areas where you can support some of the people, whether it's through the digging of a well or supplying of basic necessities such as blankets. So I really encourage you to go over there, and if for no other reason, just to look at where the gifts can go. Today we're going to spend some time in prayer. I recognise that probably through this week you've probably spent a lot of time praying for others. No doubt there will be people who have been praying for Faye, and it's good to see you back at church today, Faye. It's lovely having you here. It's no doubt there have been prayers for the Christies and all their struggles, and I was just noticing before that the Warren's got good colour back, and that's tremendous to see. Of course, then there's Arthur and Margot, and we've heard some good news reports there that the road to recovery is unfolding really well. They're getting back home. And then there's disconcerting news. We pray for Derek and Leanne and Leanne's dad. And then, of course, there's been prayers for Betty and for Ron as well, and certainly for the niece, Carolyn, and we know that's a pretty confronting situation that you're kind of going through at this point in time. So we've spent a lot of time praying, and can I encourage you to keep praying for each of these people and for others as their struggles are very real. We've seen answers to prayer, and I think we can rejoice in that. But one thing that sometimes we're not real good at is kind of praying for ourselves. What I want to take place today is that prayers will get offered for every person here today. What we're going to do is we're going to bow our heads in a few moments. And I want you to just think about what it is that you would like someone to be praying for you about. What is that thing that maybe is a secret to you that you would dearly love someone to be praying on your behalf for? And then I want to guarantee to you that somebody will be praying on your behalf in regards to that today. Because we have a promise in the Word of God that says that the Holy Spirit will stand in our gap, will plead on our behalf, and will intercede to the Father for us. So we can be assured that that very thing that is the depth of our heart, the thing that we desperately want prayer for, will be prayed for. So how about we bow our heads? And in a few moments of quietness, I'd like you to consider that request that you would like to bring before the Father, and to speak it out in your mind, and then we'll be praying that the Holy Spirit will pray that prayer to the Father for you. So let's think for a few moments that request which we want to bring before God. Father, today, each of us have spoken in our own mind the prayer requests which we would love you to hear. We would love you to be there for us in the midst of that request which we have brought before you. And so, Father, our hearts are filled with joy that the gift of your Holy Spirit will do that for us, and is right now bringing those requests before you. And we not only know that they're being brought before you, that we know that you hear our prayers. And the promise is that you will stand with us in each of these matters, and we want to thank you and praise you for that today. Father, help us to be people who continue to pray for others in need. But help us also to stand with the confidence of knowing that we are your children, we are loved by you, and you care about every part of our life. We want to thank you and praise you for that. And now, Father, as we open your word, we also ask that once again, as you have been doing all the time, but certainly through this series, you have revealed new things to us, and I pray that that will be the case today. Once again, you will reveal your heart to us so that we can respond appropriately to you. And once again, it is in the name of Jesus Christ and through the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we bring these requests to you. Amen and amen. Well, today is now week 4 of our series on Philemon, Paul's letter to Philemon, his friend. Now, there is a problem in rushing through a letter like this. It's only 4 weeks into it, and so obviously as we get to it, there's somewhat of a sense of rushing through. The danger is that verses can be missed if you're not really careful. And I have had a couple of people this week who were distressed, maybe even grief-stricken. Probably not too far an exaggeration. They've probably been losing sleep over the fact that last week I didn't look at a couple of the verses. On reflection, I might have overstated how strongly they actually said to me they were concerned that I was missing a couple of verses, But they did ask, am I going to go back to those couple of verses that we didn't look at? And I thought, yes, we really need to do that today. So we are going to look back, and we're going to, so if you have your Bibles there, you might like to look back to Philemon verses 13 to 16. And we're going to just sort of give a quick reflection on some of these. I would have liked to have kept him, that's Onesimus, with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Let's have a look at verse 13 to start with. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could actually take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. Now, I recognise that one of the problems is language can be a very difficult thing. And I think in some ways, verse 13 does that for me a little. When I read the words that are there, we don't kind of know the emotions that are behind it. It can be a little bit like sending or receiving a text message or an email. You know, when you send that text message and you send it with a smile on your face, and you think, oh, this is a bit of fun. I'd really like them to know how much I appreciate them, and it's a little bit of lightheartedness. But when it magically flies through the air and gets to the other person's phone, all of a sudden, they're having a rotten day. And they're really feeling grumpy. And so all of a sudden, this lighthearted banter that you've sent across the sky has got to their phone, and they don't see the smile on your face. They don't see the lightheartedness, and they think, why are they being so mean to me? It's not the intent, but it happens so often. Relationships can be severely damaged simply by those sort of misunderstandings. So what is Paul saying here in verse 13? On first reading, it could really read like, and maybe this is the case, that Paul is really disappointed in Philemon. He's disappointed in him for not going to the trouble of even visiting him or even coming to see him in prison. You weren't here. I needed you here and you weren't here. But don't worry, I consider Onesimus to be your replacement. And he's a good one at that. So that he could then take your place where you could have been. Or maybe he could take your place where you should have been, in helping me while I was in chains for the gospel. I think one of the things that we can probably understand why Paul could have struggled with people not supporting him enough, I think one of the things that we often overlook or underestimate is the immense struggle that Paul went through in ministry. He was willing to do anything for the gospel. We read in 2 Corinthians some of the struggles that he had. In there he says, I have been in prison frequently. I've been flogged, exposed to death again and again. 5 times I got lashed, 40 times less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I'm in danger of rivers and bandits, and the list goes on and on. And he's not saying it to brag or to say what a great guy he is. He's simply saying these are the struggles I face. And on top of that, of course, there was the thorn in the flesh that he needed to deal with. Like I say, Paul's not complaining. He really isn't. He's simply highlighting no sacrifice is too great for the sake of the gospel. But with such a list, you can imagine that there were lots of times when Paul desperately needed support. There were lots of times when he desperately needed help to be there for him. Lots of times he needed medical help. He needed accommodation. He needed a hiding place. He really needed people to stand in the gap. He needed people to visit. He needed church leaders to come and report on what was happening in their churches. People to take back his words of encouragement or reprimand. And I have no doubt that there were probably lots of times when Paul felt a little disappointed and left without the help he needed. I can't help but feel as though there's some of those sentiments in this letter. I would have liked to have kept Onesimus so that he could take your place, so that he could be here. I needed someone here. Maybe Paul doesn't mean anything negative by it at all. Maybe it's just a declaration of how much he appreciated Onesimus. But all of this is a great challenge for us, isn't it? I think one of the things that we struggle with as Christian people is we can't help everyone. We can't fix every situation. But we know that we can fix certain scenarios. We can be there for people in certain situations. We're called to be Christ's hands and his feet. And I think for us, in places like Australia or America, we can also be Christ's wallet as well. And that's a little of what we're talking about at Christmas time and the gifts we give in our Christmas offering. We know that there are people we can help. There are situations where we can make a difference. We can't do everything. But there are times when Christ calls us to serve him in different ways, and we need to be willing to stand in the gap. Verse 14, "But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced." I have no doubt that that's Paul's genuine desire. That's what he wants from Philemon, to make a decision and for it to be spontaneous. But here is another example of Paul working hard to ensure that the outcome is in his favour, in the favour of Onesimus. And more importantly, that the decision that Philemon makes is for the glory of God. To begin with, Onesimus has been with Paul for some time. Paul probably led him to the Lord. He has been there long enough to have formed a good relationship with Paul. For Paul to have highlighted his usefulness really means that this journey has taken a while. Some people feel as though Onesimus had been in prison as well and is just getting released from prison, and Paul is sending him back as soon as he could. And maybe that's right. But clearly Paul needed the timing to be right. You see, Onesimus had become a born-again believer. He no longer looked like a slave. He no longer dressed like a slave. He no longer acted like a slave. He has built up his credits in Paul's account, and now he's being sent back. Surely that's discipleship. And that's what Paul is doing for Onesimus. He's discipling him. And once he is born again, then there is help that is needed, and Paul was offering that. So sending him back wasn't spontaneous. Paul's had him for some time. It's not like Paul said, "Oh, you've got to go back." It wasn't spontaneous to go back. But he wants to make obvious to Philemon that Philemon needs to make a spontaneous decision. I wonder whether underneath the letter, we don't have it written there, maybe it was on the back, it actually had this instruction that Paul is saying, I expect an immediate reply. And whether or not there was a runner or someone ready to receive the immediate reply and to take it back to Paul. Verse 15, "Perhaps the reason he was separated for you for a little while was that you might have him back for good." And of course, that really leads into what we talked about last week in last week's sermon, where we talked about Onesimus being no longer a slave. Better than a slave, a dear brother. "He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord." Considering Paul has gone through so much to do all of this, to write all of this for one man seems extraordinary. But this man, Onesimus, had experienced an incredible transformation. So now, today, we look at today's passage in the bulletin. And if you want to just follow through with the verses there, please feel free to look at them. Let's start with verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. I wonder what a welcome to Paul would have looked like. News came through that Paul's been released from prison and Philemon, he is coming back to you. What would that welcome have looked like? You can imagine it, can't you? The Philemon would have gone around and told everyone who is associated with the church that meets in his house, guess what? Paul's coming. Let's throw him a party. Let's throw a feast and make sure that we've got everything ready for when he gets back here. Let's set the table and let's make sure that Paul has a place of honour right at the head of the table. And I can bet that he would really like to have a good night's sleep in a nice bed. Let's make sure that the best bed is best mattress is available for Paul to come and to sleep on. And they would have made all of these plans and all of these preparations. Do you reckon Onesimus got that same welcome? Even though Paul had written, welcome him as you would welcome me, I don't think it mattered how much Paul wrote that. There's not a chance that the welcome would have been quite as grand for Onesimus. So sometimes things get lost in translation. And so as Paul wrote, please welcome him as you would welcome me, it probably not quite the same welcome. And that makes some sense. Because as much as Paul is standing in his stead, the journey to forgiveness, the journey to redemption would take time in the eyes of people. And that's one of the realities. Yes, Christ saves us completely. But the sense of dealing with past issues, with people that we come into contact with, does take effort. We have to understand how this whole situation got there. Onesimus has run away. He's AWOL'd the whole situation and possibly stolen in the process. So here he is now returning with no resources to pay his debt. I wonder what welcome would be appropriate. I wonder what welcome we would have given him. Verse 18, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Verse 19, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention you owe me your very self. Some translations have it that Paul won't even mention again the debt, the life debt that Philemon owes Paul. I think there are a couple of really interesting things in this verse that we can take notice of, and a couple of things that are really often overlooked, and I think we need to really see it very clearly in this passage. To start with, it isn't a given. It isn't a given that Onesimus has actually done anything wrong, other than run away. He shouldn't have run away. But other than that, it's not a given that he has done anything wrong. Did you notice that word if? I don't know, and lots of words jump off the page to me, but that word jumps off the page to me. If, it really stands as a beacon. There is no reason for that if to be there in this letter. At this point in time, the letter's already been written. He could have written, Onesimus told me that he stole that lamp. Onesimus told me that he stole that cutlery. He stole that wristwatch. Onesimus told me that he did this. And he's sorry and he's repented. And I know that that's got to be repaid. But in this letter, the word is if. If he has done you some wrong, then I will repay it. I can't help but wonder whether his running away was more centered in the fact that he had been falsely accused and would have to face the consequences of someone else's actions. So the fact that the word if is mentioned and no items at all are referred to, no amount of money is mentioned would seem to suggest that maybe there's a lot more at play in all of this story than we might imagine. A potential false accusation may well be another reason that Paul goes into bat so strongly for Onesimus. Paul has heard the story. Paul knows the man and recognises that something's not quite right. Then as Paul writes, "I, Paul, am writing this letter in my own hand. I will pay it back." I think this is one of the strongest parts of this whole letter. And I wish I could emphasise it even stronger than I'm going to speak it out. But I really would love you to hear this today, because to me, this is the most valuable part in this whole letter that is written. Do you realise, as he writes in his own hand, "I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand, I will pay back the debt." In that moment, Onesimus is no longer in debt. His debt has been covered. He is no longer responsible for that in any way, shape, or form. He is debt free because somebody has chosen to stand in his stead. I think that's an amazing act that Paul has put there. It's the gospel message as well, isn't it? We all had a debt. A debt of sin that we couldn't pay. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and with his blood, he paid the price of our sins. And as soon as we ask for forgiveness, that debt is no longer ours. It has been paid, and paid in full. I think this is the most powerful, the most wonderful thing that could have happened for Onesimus. By that stroke of a pen that Paul has written himself, all of his debts wiped away once and for all. A useless runaway slave with a big debt is now a born-again believer, joint heir with Jesus Christ, a brother in Christ to Paul and Philemon, free in the heavenly realms, and now free on earth. Amazing declaration. As I say, it is the greatest gift of all. And sometimes I think we underestimate the miracle and the gift of having our debt paid. Onesimus is no longer a slave to his debt, either perceived debt or real debt. I wonder if you can imagine the relief, the transformation that somebody would never have been willing to do for him before, and have done that for him. The second part of this verse declares, "Not to mention you owe me your very self." For me, I find this part of the verse a great mystery. A great mystery which, I'm sorry, I can't stand here and say I've got an answer to, because I really haven't. But I find it a great mystery. Because there are a lot of people who have kind of mentioned that Paul probably led Philemon to the Lord. And that may be the case. But that's not Paul's credit. That's Jesus's credit. Jesus has saved Philemon. Paul might have been the instrument who helped him pray a prayer. Paul might have been the person who helped him deal with some of the issues that he faced. But I can't ever imagine Paul saying, "Guess what? You owe me your life because I led you to the Lord." That doesn't sit comfortable with me. And I can't imagine that Paul would try and take that credit. And so every time I've heard that as some kind of explanation, it doesn't sit comfortable with me. And so as Paul declares, "You owe me your very life," I really feel as though something else has gone on. And it's almost as if Paul has done for Philemon what he is now doing for Onesimus. Philemon had a situation that Paul needed to stand in the gap and to help and rescue Philemon from his situation as well. And so as Philemon's reading this letter, Philemon immediately goes back to, "I remember what Paul did for me. I can understand why he would do this for Onesimus." because he did it for me. We don't ever know what that is. But I have no doubt that whatever it was, Philemon knew that he had had his situation resolved because of what Paul did for him. He stood in the gap for Philemon, stood in the gap for Onesimus. Really, that's what discipleship's all about. Standing in the gap for young Christians, struggling Christians, people who are struggling in their faith. That's what we need to do as disciples. Verse 20. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. You know, in this whole letter, there really appears to be nothing in it for Paul. He loses his helper. He loses the person who helps him in prison. He's now going to have to pay Onesimus's debt. Not much in it for Paul. But you see, Paul simply wants the best for Onesimus. He wants the best for Philemon. And he wants to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Surely that should always be our motivation. That we can be the people who God's called us to be. Faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Doesn't seem like much of a reward, but I have no doubt that Paul's heart is refreshed in this moment. One of the things that I find easily the greatest blessing in ministry is over the years we've spent lots of time working with different people, and we've had the privilege of working with a lot of young people, particularly when we were running our New Day ministry over in Woodbury. And there were like 20 or 30 young people that we spent a lot of time with, and nothing does me more good than hearing stories about how they're going on with the Lord. And I often think to myself, it would have actually been better if they were all sitting in church here with me, because many of them are very talented, very gifted. But it's rewarding to know that they've gone on with the Lord. And that they're faithfully serving him in other churches, in other situations. It does your heart good. Your heart is refreshed because you know the work that God has called you to do is bearing fruit. Not that it's any of my glory, but it does my heart good. There aren't always a lot of tangible victories when we're walking this Christian journey. So we need to make the most of them when they happen. Even though none of this took any of Paul's struggles away, it gave another glimpse as to why it was okay. Shipwrecked, that's okay. Imprisoned, it's okay. Because of what God is doing in people's lives. Because it was all for Christ's sake. For the sake of those who God had placed on his path. Today is all about standing in the gap for those that God has placed on your path. As I said, we can't fix every situation. We can't help everyone. But there are people who God places on our path. There are family members. There are friends. There are people who once walked with the Lord who we could just be like Christ to. We could be Christ's hands and Christ's feet to those he's calling us to disciple. Paul knew what it meant for Onesimus. I wonder whether we know what it means to the people who God has placed on our path. Very little to do with us. Has everything to do with them and everything to do with glorifying God. Sacrifice isn't much fun. Having to do the hard yards isn't always easy. But if Christ was willing to do all that he was willing to do, to stand in our stead, to stand in the gap for us, then is he really asking anything of you that's actually too hard? Or do we just need to stand up and be counted? I just want to let you know that there are people who you know, family members, friends, who need you to stand in that place. Would you, with Christ's help, be willing to stand in that place? Let's pray together. Father, we recognise that there are many gaps. Many situations when people need someone to stand up and be counted on others' behalf. And Father, today I believe that that's your call on us. To stand in that place that people need us to stand. For us to faithfully be your representatives. In someone's life, in someone's situation. And Father, today we give you permission to speak into our lives who those people are, what those situations are. And Father, we ask that you will also give us the strength to be what we need to be, who we need to be in those situations. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.